More now on the political and social situation in Russia. We're joined by Andrew Miller. He's Moscow correspondent for The Economist. Andrew, last week, Russia's justice ministry ordered more than 100 foreign-run organizations to cease their activities in Russia. Tell us about this order. Who are some of these organizations ordered to stop activities in Russia?
The organizations include such controversial ones as Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International. They haven't technically been ordered to stop their activities. Under a new law that was passed earlier this year, all NGOs are obliged to register with this new government agency, and these organizations have allegedly failed to register in time. And foreign-funded NGOs, such as those I've just mentioned, are obliged to comply with especially onerous registration requirements, and there's a disagreement between them and the government about why it is that they failed to get their registration in time. But certainly this law has allowed the Kremlin to restrict the activities of these organizations in new ways and potentially to put them out of business altogether, although I think, in fairness, we ought to say that it's too early to conclude on the basis of these suspensions that that's happening to these organizations. It could be that they do manage successfully to register with this body in the coming days and weeks, but certainly the powers are there to interfere with the workings of these groups.
Well, people have been writing stories that this is tells you quite a lot about the state of civil society in Russia. I think there has been some talk about a rise of fascism there based on this action by the government.
Well, I think it's not only this action by the government. If you look at the sort of totality of policies that the Kremlin has pursued in the last few years, they do amount to a massive tightening of control over civil society and the media and politics and accumulation of power in the hands of the president and the Kremlin. And this is one part of that.
Do these organizations carry out some role in the life of ordinary Russians, or are these mostly organizations that in fact do represent the interests of outsiders who may want something to happen in Russia?
Well, it depends how you define the interests of outsiders. For example, Human Rights Watch does invaluable work in documenting, amongst other things, the human rights abuses that take place in the North Caucasus, the Chechnya Republic, and the regions that are its neighbors. Now, you could consider that serving foreign interests only insofar as you think that human rights are exclusively a concern for, you know, America and Western Europe. But actually, in much more concrete ways, some of these organizations have benefited to the lives of Russian citizens. For example, Médecins Sans Frontières, the French humanitarian and medical relief charity, has had to suspend some of its activities, not all, some of its activities inside Russia, most of which are focused on the North Caucasus area where they help refugees and victims of the Chechen conflicts in various ways. Many people in the Russian government do believe that distributing medical and food aid to people in Chechnya and Ingushetia and so on is unjustifiable foreign meddling in their affairs. But
does Vladimir Putin believe that? Is this the work of Vladimir Putin?
Well, President Putin, he definitely supports this law, and he said so on many occasions. He, I think, looks at these foreign NGOs, and he sees the opportunity for espionage. They only really believe in economic motives, and I think lots of people in the Kremlin look at organizations like Human Rights Watch or Médecins Sans Frontières, and they ask themselves, why are these people doing this? Because the possibility that they're doing it purely because they want to improve the lives of ordinary Russians, that possibility doesn't really occur to the people in the Kremlin.
Andrew Miller reporting in Moscow for The Economist. Andrew, thank you.